Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. The NCAA Football Rules Committee concluded 4 days of meetings, and I think there were two primary topics I just wanted to highlight. I think you all have the release. First batch obviously deals with enhanced player safety in the game and five particular proposals. In targeting with replay, the expansion of the authority for the replay officials to review targeting calls that are made on the field, a further expansion of allowing the replay official to identify a targeting call that was missed by the officials on the field in egregious situations. Clarified the blocking below the waist, enhancing the official's ability to call it more easily and to further protect the players, and Rogers can get into some of those additional details. The sliding ball carrier was identified for further protection as they're giving themselves up. The tripping of the ball carrier, low hits on the passer. And then finally, a little different group in the technology area where we approve the opportunity to open up technology of computers and tablets in the coaching box, in the press box, and in the locker rooms. The committee will continue to study the idea of using enhanced technology on the sideline and the team area in the next several years. But those were the two major areas. I think, again, the package of five proposals that reflect enhanced player safety component, and then delving into the technology in the coaching box and locker room at this point. So I'll stop there and turn it over for any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. You'll hear a tone indicating you've been placed in queue. You may remove yourself at any time by pressing the pound key. Our first question comes from the line of John Solomon from CBSSports.com. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Regarding the targeting rule and replay, can you all explain what specifically will replay officials be required to review now that they couldn't review in the past? What will be different about it?
John, this is Rogers Redding. What's going to be different about it is this. In the past, the replay official could only look, in the case of a targeting to the head or neck area foul, he could only look at the point of forcible contact, and in the case of the crown of the helmet foul, could only look at the whether or not the crown of the helmet was actually used in making the forcible contact. Now what they will look at is all the aspects of the targeting play. That is, was there an indicator of targeting, such as a launch, a crouch, an upward thrust? Was the player defenseless? And then, as always, they'll look at what they've looked at before, the location of the contact, whether the contact was with the crown of the helmet in the case of that foul. So it effectively has the replay official looking at all aspects of the targeting play.
Do you think the delays will go up at all in terms of how much time it takes, or do you all expect it to be about the same?
I don't expect it to take any more time. I mean, they can look quickly at, real very quickly. Was the player defenseless? Was there an element of targeting? I mean, this all happens very fast. So even slowing it down just to look at the play, no more than they would have before when they needed to determine whether or not there was forcible contact to the head or neck area, for example. So I think that you won't see any increase in the time of the replay. And by the way, as you know, they already are required by rule to review, to stop the game, to review every targeting foul. So that's not going to change. It's just what they're going to look at now in terms of what they rule on.
Right. And one more thing for me. What was the Rules Committee's consensus on perhaps using collaborative replay, such as centralized command center, and will there be any experiments in 2016 along those lines?
Yeah, there's an experimental rule that currently Rule 12, which is the instant replay rule, requires that the decision be made by the instant replay official in the secure booth at the stadium. And what the experimental rule will allow for on a one-year experimental basis is for that decision to be made in collaboration with someone at an off-site secure location, such as a command center at a conference. So this will allow any conference that wants to do that to experiment with it for this year.
You know who's going to experiment with it?
Well, there are several that are interested in it, and I'd rather let that lie like that. The proposal for the experiment came from the Southeastern Conference, and so they're going to want to use it. There may be others that are anticipating it, and so we'll have to see how that goes. But the SEC is the one that actually made the proposal, but the allowance of the experiment is for any conference that wants to do it.
Okay. Thanks.
Our next question comes from line of Ralph Russo from Associated Press. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Actually, John basically just answered my question, so I'll let others jump in here. Thank you.
Thanks, Ralph. Good to hear from you.
Next, we'll go to line of George Schroeder from USA Today.
Yeah. Guys, I appreciate the time here. So I just want to make sure I understand, when it comes to the replay officials' expanded ability with targeting, it sounds like, are you saying that, just from my own understanding, was it the case that a replay official could not determine up until this rules clarification, for example, if a guy had been blocked into the contact, that the only thing he could determine was whether the impact was made with the crown of the helmet or those kinds of things, but he wasn't allowed to say, well, hey, that shouldn't be targeting because the guy didn't actually intend this at all. Some other guy knocked him into that. Is that what the case was?
Yeah, that's right, George. The replay official was limited to look only, was there, and the word forcible is really important, was there forcible contact
right
to the head or neck area of a defensive player, or was there forcible contact with the crown of the helmet? But they couldn't look at anything else.
Like how they got there. How or why. They couldn't look at the hows or the whys.
That's right.
Problem.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. All they could look at was yes or no, the forcible contact was where it was. So that's all they could look at.
I got you. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, George, on the other part, the call, an act that was not seen by the officials and now was called, I think we're all familiar with seeing stuff that, oftentimes on a television broadcast that just missed. And that now the replay official can go and evaluate what happened in those instances just as they would in one that was called on the field. So that's an expansion. I think it's an important expansion that the conference offices and the conference commissioners supported about trying to address game situations during the game.
Yeah, George, let me emphasize, too, that in that case where the replay official is allowed to effectively create a targeting foul, those will be those that are just so blatant that everybody sees it. It's not the case that the replay official is going to take time on every play to sort of scan the field and see what happened. This is one that will just present itself to the replay official that the officials on the field just missed.
Gotcha. I did wonder if there's a bit of a, if you guys were concerned about whether there's a precedent there, even though this is a very limited application of the principle, of the idea that somebody who's not on the field could end up sort of, calling penalties.
Well, I mean, that's a slippery slope to allow the replay official to create a foul. But we do have some precedent for that already in the rules. They can, for example, if the replay official sees 12 men on the field that wasn't called, they can rule on that. If the passer's already beyond the line of scrimmage, they can rule on that. We made the rule change last year on a kickoff. If there was an early block, they could rule on that. So there is some precedent, but it is one of those things that we want to be careful about expanding. But this rule is so important from the standpoint of player safety and disqualification of the person committing the foul that we felt like this was a legitimate reason to expand that responsibility.
Right. And then I have a question, too. What kind of discussion did you guys have, if any, on the costs of allowing teams to use technology in the coaching box in the locker room? And you obviously discussed other places, too, but you guys came down on coaching box and locker room. What kind of cost, what kind of discussion do you have that can one team use this if the other team doesn't have it? I mean, were you concerned about that potential?
Yeah, George, and I think that's why the committee this year stopped it at the coaching box and in the locker room, because when you get down to the sideline application, it's a much more complicated process. I think the feeling generally was that, you know, these coaching electronic coaching aids are in use all the time, have been for a number of years, that it, you know, it kind of takes us out of the pen and pencil era. And at this, you know, is there going to be a cost implication? Probably not so much in the coaching box area. But I think, you know, we have, there's a technology committee that's been in place the last couple of years, you know, going to look at it, you know, opening up a lot more, and some of those questions will really come into play. I think it is important to note that, you know, a number of the high schools allow it without restriction. You know, everybody's running around with tablets and stuff now anyhow. It's really, instead of checking them at the office, allowing them to take them up to their coaching box and, you know, continue to use them. It's not going to, again, at least, you know, the connectivity back down to the field of play, the field level. And that could be where significant costs could become involved, and those decisions will just have to be made at the appropriate time.
Fair enough. And I'm sorry, my last question regards the noticeable receiver or lineman downfield. So you guys just said, hey, we want to adjust officiating mechanic. So is there some sort of a mechanism to do that? How are you going to adjust the officiating mechanic? Where does that come from? Who does that? And you know, when do we know what that means?
Now, George, this is Rogers again. In fact, last year at midseason, the coordinators, the conference coordinators are the ones that I work with on the officiating mechanics, and we jointly made a decision at mid-year last year to continue to have the umpire be primarily responsible for the ineligible receiver downfield, but then give secondary responsibility to the head linesman and the line judge. Those are the officials on the sideline who are right on the line of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
The official, let's say this typically happens when a quarterback rolls out. It looks like it's going to be a run, and then he steps up and throws a pass. And so the offside flank official will have is responsible now as one of his responsibilities to look at that ineligible receiver downfield on the play going away from him. So we made that adjustment last year. We will continue to look at that and tinker with that and just see, you know, whether or not the lineman is downfield. And so I think the other thing is that we've told the coordinators are telling the officials this is going to be a hard and fast, you know, 3-yard rule. And in other words, we're not going to allow some slop where, okay, if it's 3.5, we'll give them that, or 3.5 and 4. It's going to be we're going to be diligent about enforcing the rule as it's written.
Gotcha. It strikes me that in all these things you guys have put out that there may not be a firestorm this year. If that's the case, are you happy about that?
Always.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime we can avoid an explosion, we like that a lot, George.
Thank you guys for your time.
Thanks. Good to hear from you.
Same here.
Next, we'll go line of Craig Stevenson from Alabama Media Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, regarding the illegal man downfield, is there any thought at all to utilizing instant replay to call or overturn that?
Well, we talked about that a little bit, but again, as I mentioned earlier, the slippery slope of having the official in the booth create a foul is just something we'd like to stay away from if we can. And so the thought process of the committee was, let's do this in baby steps. Let's adjust the officiating mechanics, and that worked better than is realized in the second half of the season last year. Let's see about the adjustment of the officiating mechanics. If we still continue to have significant problems with it, then we said, okay, we'll take another look at that next year. But for the moment, we want to, as much as we can, stay away from having the replay official create a foul from the replay booth.
And also, you know, last year the 1-yard limit, similar to the NFL rule, was proposed. It was voted down. Was there any thought to discussing that again, or did that just kind of a lost cause?
Well, that was part of the discussion. I mean, the discussion was whether or not to pass the rule that was recommended last year. I would remind you that in fact, you know, many years ago, before the three-yard rule was put in, there was no flexibility at all. In other words, the rule just said a lineman could not be downfield under those circumstances. So the 1 yard would have been a little bit of a compromise. So we didn't talk about that, but decided in the end that because of the fact that we'd made this mechanics adjustment in the second half of the season last year, that worked pretty well. And so we decided not to mess with the rule, but to continue to enhance those mechanics and then evaluate that after this season to see how well that worked.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Thanks.
Next over the line is Stuart Mandel from Fox Sports.
Yeah, I believe there was a proposal out there kind of model after the basketball model of flagrant one, flagrant two for targeting penalties, the idea being that some are more blatant than others. Is that no longer on the table?
Well, so I think the idea of, no, it's not on the table, was we discussed it. I think the idea is that with a more detailed review by and the enhanced authority by the replay official, that in essence what was hoped to be accomplished by a flagrant one, flagrant two could be similarly accomplished under the present rule by the evaluation. And, you know, again, I think always the targeting rule, because one of the potential for injury and two, the consequence for the player will always be very fluid evaluation. And, but the committee is not backing off the core intent or penalty of the rule.
Do you feel with this system, you know, I believe the stat was a little more than a third of targeting calls that overturned last season. You know, in your model of this, would more calls get overturned or less calls?
Well, last year, I think the data show that roughly a quarter of the fouls were overturned, which is consistent with the rest of replay. In other words, replay in all phases of the game is about 25% overturned. But the sense of this is that I don't expect to be much change in the number of fouls that are overturned, and especially since we have the provision in there for the replay official in the case of a really egregious foul that's missed on the field to rule on that. So I want to see, but I don't expect there to be very much change in the number of overturns. I just think it's an effort to be more precise and to do a better job of getting it right.
All right, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
Next, we'll go to the line of Taylor Super from GeekWire. Please go ahead.
Thanks, guys. I was just curious to know, how do you guys expect the electronic devices to be used? You mentioned coaching aids, but would it be used for communication or what else? Just what will they be utilized for by coaches and by players, too, if possible?
Yeah, there really won't be any real difference during the game. And, you know, again, I think during practices and throughout the week, you know, the coaches and players are looking at them and using them in preparation of the game. When the game starts, the coaches will now have a laptop, the ability to have a laptop or a tablet up in the coach's box, as opposed to a tablet and laminated flip charts or whatever else they're using. But it's not opening up communication back down to the field level yet. Again, that's something that's still under further study and is much more complicated. So I think it's really just the ease of the devices that people are working on throughout the week, being able to go up into the coach's box and still use them during the game, but not, as of yet, come down to the field level.
Got it. Okay. Thank you.
And I guess also the other thing, you know, we also talk about in the locker room, you know, now where, you know, instead of the coach diagramming on a grease board a play, they could show a video in the locker room at halftime. You know, those are enhancements, but again, a very controlled environment and that each team is going to be responsible for, you know, how they choose to, what equipment devices they choose to use.
Do you guys envision kind of implementing something in the future, like what the NFL is doing with Microsoft and the Surface tablets, or is that kind of down the line a little bit?
Well, like I say, that's very complicated, but I think that's part of the technology committee's study. And I think, again, you know, the committee is open to looking at technological advances. And they'll be approved in due course when there's kind of a consensus develop about restrictions in use. You know, the NFL is a very controlled environment. You know, they don't have different conferences involved, different teams, you know, playing around. And those are all complicated things that I think everybody wants to take time to understand before just rushing out.
Got it. Thank you.
Any additional questions, please press star one. And we have a follow-up from John Solomon from CBS Sports.
Yeah, in fact, one more question with the collaborative replay, the experiment. Is there a rule that would say who has to make that final decision, or can it be done jointly with the different replay officials in the command center, or must it be the replay official from the stadium?
Well, John, it allows the collaboration to take place, and so the idea is that the replay official at the stadium would make the decision, but the collaboration would come with input from the offsite people, and so I think it doesn't change who makes the decision. It just changes the capability for additional consultation.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
No additional questions from the phone.
Okay, Tammy, thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude your conference for today. You may now disconnect.